It's World Soccer Talk Radio. It's with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Nate Abarea. Pleasure and a privilege to be with you. As always, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. Check out the website, the world famous worldsoccertalk.com, featuring some of the finest soccer journalism on the planet. And you can also listen to the show via worldsoccertalk.com. Find us on Twitter at World Soccer Talk. Find me on Twitter at NateWST and get at me with all the love, all the hearts, all the sunshine, all the smiley faces, and of course, all those devil horns and all the hate mail. I've been getting more love mail than hate mail lately, and it's confusing me. So see if we can switch that back around and get things back to normal. At NateWST, find me on Twitter. Get at me at Sports Byline USA for updates on this fine program. And this program today, we're going to be joined by one JP Della Camera, coming back for more, the great American soccer voice working currently for Fox Sports, and he will be calling the Women's World Cup final on Sunday up in the Great White North in Canada, USA, and Japan, not USA, England. Oh my goodness. I don't know if I've ever seen a more heartbreaking ending to a team's World Cup run on the women's or the men's side. I don't know if I've ever seen a more heartbreaking ending to a game in sports. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Laura Bassett's own goal for England in the 92nd minute was one of the most crushing things I have ever seen. And I wasn't rooting for England or let alone playing for England or coaching or anything like that. Just watching as a neutral, seeing the emotion coming out of the television screen yesterday was one of the most gut-wrenching things I have ever seen. But we're going to talk with JP Della Camera a little bit about Sunday's final, the rematch of the 2011 final between the USA and Japan. And we're going to find out what makes JP tick as a soccer broadcaster and talk about what the U.S. women's national team means to him and his career. Does he ever get nervous before a big game? Find out. Stay with us. World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo-Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from seven different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like: Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus, all of the games from those leagues that are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now, this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast streamed to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a 2-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.TV/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
Come celebrate new Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline with a chance to upgrade your drive when you fill up at Shell. Introducing the 100 BMWs and 100-day sweepstakes. Swipe your fuel rewards card to enter to win a BMW 320i. Don't have a card? Get one free at participating Shell stations or visit fuelrewards.com/win. Offer ends September 8th, 2015. No purchase necessary. See official rules at shell.us/win. Void in Maryland, New Jersey, and Virginia where prohibited by law.
World Soccer, it's Soccer Radio back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Thanks for subscribing to us on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher, and checking us out at worldsoccertalk.com. JP Della Camera, soon to be the voice of the 2015 Women's World Cup final up in Canada, back on the show. Pleasure to have you with us, JP. How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm good. I had no idea how popular your show was, but I've had so many people that I know reach out to me to say that they heard the show. I guess it was last week. So great to be back on with you.
Absolutely. And hey, let's get right in. Before we do my normal thing and take these glorious trips down memory lane, let's live in the present here and talk about, or I should say, live in the immediate future. Sunday's final, it's the rematch, it's USA, it's Japan. Just throw it right to you. What are you, JP, looking forward to the most about this final?
I think just the fact that it's an opportunity for the U.S. women to do what they did back in 1999 and kind of put an exclamation point on this somewhat turbulent run to get to the final. It hasn't been easy despite looking at their record. You know, they've been criticized for it, being fair and balanced. People criticize their lack of offense, praise their defense. So it hasn't been a smooth ride to get here, but I think a just reward for them if they can win this game against Japan. It won't be easy. Japan's played well in this tournament. They had some good fortune yesterday, but you need some luck to get to a final. The U.S. had some luck the other day when Julie Johnston wasn't given a red card, and you know the penalty that Morgan drew was really outside the box. So yes, they were lucky in that game too, but they were the better team. And at the end of the day, you could argue that Japan was the better team of the day yesterday, although the way England was playing in that second half, I think they have every right to think they were the better team too.
If the USA shut out Japan, if that happens, the U.S. hold a clean sheet in that match and go minutes straight of shutout soccer, I mean, how will Jill Ellis go down history books if they are to not only win this final, but hold a clean sheet? And after all this glasses half full, glasses half empty, the offense, the defense, how is Jill Ellis going to be able to feel if that were to happen?
Well, I think regardless of what the defense does, what the offense does, the bottom line is advancing, getting past the group stage, winning in the knockout rounds, getting to the final, and then winning the final. So at the end of the day, I think if the USA won every game by a 1-0 scoreline, people would still say, terrific job, she won the title. So I don't think that will matter so much. It's pretty rare, though, to only give up one goal throughout the tournament if that happens. But I will tell you this, Nadine Ongerer, Germany's goalkeeper, didn't allow a single goal back in 2007 in China when Germany won it. So it's rare, but I think people will just remember. I mean, I could be wrong on this, Nate, but I think 5 years from now, 10 years from now, nobody's going to say, wow, the U.S. scored the fewest goals maybe that they've ever scored in a World Cup. I don't think they'll be talking about that or the fact that they maybe just gave up the one goal. I think, unless the final is like the final was in 99, I think they'll be talking about the overall accomplishment, whereas in 99, most people talk about that final.
Hey, before we move on from the immediate future, or the present, whatever we want to call it, got to ask you about the ending in the England-Japan match yesterday. I opened the show by saying this, and I opened up not only the soccer history books and went down my own hyperthymestic disorder pathway in my own brain, just thinking through the memory bank. I don't know if I've ever seen a more heartbreaking ending to a World Cup campaign for a men's or women's team. I don't know if I've ever seen a more heartbreaking ending in sports. I mean, I started thinking about, you know, the history books and Bill Buckner for the Red Sox in 1986 on a baseball side. I mean, other sport comparisons, but especially on a soccer level, I don't know if I've ever seen something quite like this. What did you take in from Laura Bassett's own goal, and how did it make you feel watching it?
Almost a sick feeling, Nate. Actually, I haven't had time to really think it through, to think about maybe other incidents like that. I mean, we've all seen own goals. We've seen them at World Cups. We've seen them at critical times in games. I can't remember many, if any, that I've seen that late in a game, but you're heartbroken for Laura Bassett. This is not, wouldn't matter who she was, whether she was a rookie, a veteran, her last game ever, that none of that matters. I think just seeing her in tears, she's blaming herself, not because her youth team lost or even her club team lost, her country lost. No one that has not been in that position can tell you how bad that feels. She may not sleep for weeks. She may need counseling. As strange as that might sound to people listening, she might need counseling for something like that. She's going to be blamed by some, and that's unfortunate because, you know, things happen in a game. She's defending her position. Alexi Lalas said that's one of the toughest things to do when you're facing your goalkeeper. He said one of the most difficult things for a central defender, and it's such a fine line, right? I mean, if she deflects that ball maybe a different way, doesn't happen. You know, she goes after it, she misses it, doesn't happen. But instead, it's kind of perfect and into the back of the net. So I think sympathetic sports fans, not just soccer fans, sympathetic sports fans are gutted by the way that ended yesterday. So very unfortunate. I hope she recovers from this. I think her teammates will be her best allies, and you saw her coach yesterday saying that there was a Japanese forward there that probably would have scored anyway, and trying to deflect some of that pressure. But when people blame themselves for mistakes, you know, it stays with them for an awfully long time. Very sad ending, and it left me with a rather sick feeling. I'm glad I wasn't the one calling that game, actually, now that I think of it.
Absolutely. Mark Sampson, the English manager, just with some incredible words post game. Laura Bassett's teammates with just some support that I can't even put words to as far as what they're trying to do and looking out for their friend and teammate. And also been really impressed with the outpouring of support, whether it's even little stuff on social media or folks, you know, sending letters to Laura Bassett in Canada. Remember, England now have to play in the third place match against Germany. Yeah. And some of the teammates, it's talking about how difficult it's going to be for them to suddenly, you know, switch the psyche back on and get ready for a third place match against the Germans. But, you know, all of our thoughts with Laura Bassett, an incredibly difficult thing to deal with and something that really transcends sports. I mean, you're not overstating it when you say, JP, that she's probably going to need counseling after something like this. It's gut-wrenching in a whole lot of ways. But we have to look forward again to Sunday's final, and before we head to break here real quick, I got about 90 seconds left with you, and then I want to talk with you all about your career, more about your career as an announcer and a commentator, and your relationship with the U.S. Women's National Team. But before we head to break here, JP, give us your in your opinion the biggest key for the USA to beat Japan on Sunday.
I think if the U.S. plays the way they played against Germany, they'll beat Japan. They'll beat anybody on any given day of the week. That was the best we've seen them from top to bottom. Defensively, they were very solid, but they've been that way throughout the tournament. But, you know, the ball movement was better. Everything was better from them. There's still a problem with finishing. You know, one of those goals was on a penalty kick. That second goal, a very nice ball from Lloyd to Kelly O'Hara. That was fantastic. But I think if the USA plays their game, and it's gotten better each game, right? I know the opponents have gotten more difficult, too. You know, China wasn't a huge test for them, but that was probably their best game at that point all around. And then after that, playing against a team like Germany, that gets them ready for Japan. But Japan won't be easy. Their defense, just like Germany's, very, very solid. So we're all hoping, as USA fans, that the USA finds their offense. But it's still not going to be easy. Japan's only given up 3 goals in this tournament. USA won. And Japan has not given up more than a goal in any single game either. So I think it's a terrific matchup, whether it was a rematch or not. And USA, though, in this case, unlike the other night, will be the favorite.
And there is no team that possesses the ball better in the entire tournament than the Japanese. It will be a fantastic final on Sunday. More with JP Della Camera right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay with us.
Are you sick and tired of paying more than $100 a month for your TV bill? Well, if so, I've got the solution for you. It's called Fubo TV, and it's the best way to watch the greatest leagues from around the world. Fubo TV is a legal and affordable streaming service that delivers live and on-demand HD broadcasts of BN Sports, Goal TV, Benfica TV, and more. That means you can watch La Liga, Serie A, the Bundesliga, Ligue 1, Copa America, and more. With Fubo TV, the broadcast stream to your computer, smartphone, tablet, Roku, or Amazon Fire TV. Plus, Fubo TV works with Chromecast, so you can cast the games to your TV set. Best of all, Fubo TV is offering a 2-week free trial, so you can watch as much soccer as you like. Go to fubo.tv/radio and sign up today. And if you love what you see, a monthly subscription to Fubo TV is only $6.99 per month. So sign up at fubo.tv/radio right now. FUBO.TV/radio and start enjoying the best soccer from around the world at home, work, or on the go.
Soccer fans, I have a question for you. Which is the only soccer network in the United States that shows games from Ajax, PSV, Colo-Colo, Benfica, Zenit, and other teams? The answer is NGSN, a brand new online sports network that offers live and on-demand games from 7 different leagues from around the world for free, no strings attached. With your free 90-day trial, you can watch as many league games from the following countries as you like: Holland, Portugal, Russia, Chile, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. NGSN is the only place you can watch Eredivisie games, featuring star players such as Memphis Depay, Andres Guardado, Aaron Johansson, and many more. Plus, all of the games from those leagues that are available on your Windows PC or Mac, and your Apple iPhone or Android device. Commentaries are offered in English or Spanish, plus the games are in HD. Now, this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the United States. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 90-day trial to NGSN. No credit card is required. You just sign up and go. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-414-1051. That's 1-800-414-1051. 1-800-414-1051. Call now.
World Soccer Talk Radio is back here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Privileged to be joined for the second time here on this program by one JP Della Camera, one of the great soccer voices in America. And I want to talk with you now, JP, as you get ready to call the Women's World Cup final between the USA and Japan on Sunday. I want to go back to the first time that you announced a women's soccer game. You have a very interesting relationship with the U.S. women's national team and as a result with women's soccer as a whole through your career. Talk about the first time that you ever broadcast a women's game.
Tell you what, Nate, I wish I could remember the very first game I did. It was probably a college soccer game for the women, but the first national team game that I probably did, or at least the first big one that I can remember, would have been in the Women's World Cup back in 1995 in Sweden. That was a tournament where, unlike the United States, it seemed like it's a great country to hold a Women's World Cup, but you hardly knew that the World Cup was there. You know, no signage, no traveling supporters. There was no real sense that there was a major event taking place in Sweden. And I remember at the time when I was named to do those games, it was myself and Amy Allman. I believe we were doing, I want to say, five or six games. They were all USA games at the time. I think the company back then was called Grand Slam Sports. They may have had a name change by then, but I think that was the name of the company. But I remember Amy Allman said to me one day, she said, the players wanted to know if you're here because you wanted to be here or because ESPN made you come here. And I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, they wanted to know, I think, from a respect level, was I just going there because I had to or I wanted to? And I told them I absolutely wanted to. And I thought that kind of defined it a little bit because they knew that I was all in. This is something that I was passionate about. I was excited about it, and I wanted to do it. And just to show you, Nate, how far it's come, when they lost that game and they were not going to be in the final, we didn't do the final that year. The choice was, and it was, I think, ESPN's choice in conjunction with that company, Grand Slam Sports, the decision would have been to either stay with the U.S. team and do a third-place game or do the final. They could only choose one, and back then they chose to just stay with the USA. I mean, that wouldn't happen these days. Fox is doing every single game, so you'd never have that situation and probably never will in the future. But those are some of the memories from 1995. Long train rides to some of those places in Sweden, smaller stadiums. Some look like high school stadiums in some very small cities. I think the biggest stadium was probably Helsingborg. But it was a very nice country to go to and to visit.
Well, it's really interesting you talk about the roots for you with the U.S. women's national team. And so I want to ask you now about, you know, maybe a special bond that you might feel with the U.S. women's team. I mean, you've called a number of U.S. men's games, and you've got a relationship with the sport of hockey and the sport of soccer as a whole. But specifically in regards to the United States women's national team, and especially when you consider the fact that some of the shining moments of your broadcasting career have been with the U.S. women's team, talk about any sort of special bond you might feel with the team.
Well, I think that being around for 1999, you had to feel like a special connection, not just to the team, but for what it did to America. It really united the country at the time. People that actually hated soccer followed it. People that hated women's soccer specifically followed it. It really united the country. These women were on David Letterman. Dan Rather was giving them some coverage at that time on the CBS News. They were all over the place, all the commercials. I mean, it was something that I don't think could ever be duplicated. And I'm a big fan, Nate, of the first-timers, I guess. Let's call it the first-timers, right? I don't think there's ever going to be a soccer player as great as Mia Hamm, ever. I don't believe that there will ever be a hockey player as great as Wayne Gretzky, nor a basketball player as great as Michael Jordan. I think LeBron James is amazing, but he's not Jordan. Kobe Bryant's not Michael Jordan. So I have a soft spot in my heart for those first-timers. And I think that if the U.S. wins this game against Japan and they're champions and they're true champions and they're worthy champions, if someone were to ask me to compare the two, I still think I would go back to 1999 because that was the first, you know, for me to be involved in an event like that. And when you think about it, 16 years later, we're still talking about that game. So I think that's part of the special memory or bond that maybe I have with this team. And let me tell you, for any broadcaster that's out there, if you've ever been a broadcaster and you got to call Michael Jordan's games, you knew that every time the ball was in his hand, something great or magical could happen. If Wayne Gretzky had the puck, even if he was behind the net, you as a broadcaster had a sense that this could be the big play. This could be something people would remember forever. And I had that same feeling doing games where Mia Hamm was playing, because you knew that at any moment in time, there was a moment of greatness within her. And time and time again, she came through with that. So I got to call some of her record-breaking goals. I'll always remember those and cherish those memories. So I think going back again, sorry for the long story, but I think just going back to 99 and the way it was done, the way it happened, the sold-out stadiums, people said it couldn't be done, that's always going to be a special time in my heart and in my mind.
Well, I'll never forget being able to have the privilege of being at Stanford Stadium in July of 1999 for that semifinal victory over Brazil when I believe it was Christine Lilly and Michelle Akers on the score sheet that day, if my memory serves me correctly. But getting to see Mia Hamm and getting to see that USA team in person in the semifinal of the 1999 World Cup at Stanford, I will never, ever forget that. And JP, I got to ask you now to kind of continue on what we're talking about here, but if you can kind of compare and contrast 95 to 99, because it's an incredible, it's only 4 years difference, but there's so much to kind of compare and contrast there, and especially when you think about the taste of 1995 for that women's team, being that the nucleus of the team was essentially the same going in to the 99 World Cup on U.S. soil. How would you compare, or how would you explain the relationship between the 1995 World Cup in Sweden from an on-field point of view, from a broadcast point of view, to that incredible pinnacle of it all that was 1999?
Well, I don't have rosters in front of me, but I would venture to say a lot of the players were the same. Certainly the core players were the same. The players in the key positions in 95 were still there in 1999. So that was a similarity there. But I think the difference, the two differences that I can remember that I think made a big difference for this team in 99, one was home field advantage. Even though it had its own pressure built into it, I think that playing at home, playing in front of all those supporters, reading about yourself in the newspaper, seeing yourself on television, not that they needed it for any ego gratification. They were more interested in it that it was promoting women's soccer and soccer in general. Mia Hamm would deflect all praise to her teammates. She could care less if somebody devoted 10 paragraphs of a story to her or 20 paragraphs or no paragraphs. I think they were just all in to help the sport, to help the sport grow. I think that team was so tight, but I think that home field advantage definitely helped them. Had that tournament been somewhere else in 1999? Who really knows? But the other factor, I think, was watching Norway celebrate in 1995. As I remember, the U.S. team got into some sort of a huddle and vowed never to see that kind of a celebration take place again. They were angry. They were upset, not only that they lost that game, but that Norway seemed to kick it in their face, kick sand in their face with their celebration. And if you talk to the U.S. women today, and if you watched a couple of documentaries that have been done on that tournament, that's what they're talking about, watching Norway celebrate in their win against the United States. It drove them crazy. So I think that unified them, gave them a common goal and bond to get back in a position where they could win a World Cup. And then I think home field advantage from start to finish was huge. They just rode that wave.
Well, I'll never forget in one of those, it was an HBO documentary, I believe, which featured much of your commentary from 95 and from 99. There was a special name that I can't repeat on this show that many of the U.S. women had for their Norwegian opponents. It was definitely quite the rivalry. Not a whole lot of love lost between Norway and the USA and the women's soccer pitch back in 1995. And that carried on later on into the decade into the 1999 World Cup, which, of course, saw the USA defeat China on penalty kicks at the Rose Bowl that glorious day in July of 1999. When we get back here on World Soccer Talk Radio, by the way, check out, look up for yourself what that special phrase was, how the U.S. women described their Norwegian opponents. Look it up for yourself. I'm not going to get in trouble and say it here on the radio. World Soccer Talk Radio is back with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network after another quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about game day rituals for JP Della Camera, an average match day, and does it change at all on a big occasion like a Women's World Cup final? All that and more right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay with us. We're back after this.
All set. How was your visit with the dentist?
Grandpa.
Shall we book another appointment then?
No,
wonderful. I'll sign you up for our root canal rewards. 10th one's free.
Big lunch?
You're drooling on my papers.
That's lovely.
How about a rewards program you'll actually use every day? Introducing Plenty. Earn points at lots of places, including AT&T, Exxon, Macy's, Mobil, Nationwide, and Rite Aid. There's plenty together. Learn more at plentywithani.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days, and anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
We all know healthcare has changed drastically. It's quite the puzzle to sort through your options and find a health insurance plan that's affordable and maximizes your benefits. And you're now required by law to have health insurance, or you may pay a tax penalty. So let the Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. They offer plans from over 120 different companies and can even help you obtain government subsidies. Let them do all the research for you and show you how affordable health insurance can be, a service that's at no extra cost to you. Call now and learn your options to find affordable health insurance. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242. 800-614-1242.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is a DBA or assumed name of Insphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., which is a licensed insurance agency in all 50 states and D.C. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service availability varies by state.
Are you tired of network announcers who are clearly pulling for the other team? Check out Rabble.tv, a new kind of television experience where you are in control of the audio. Rabble.tv allows users like you to broadcast your insights and opinions about sports and entertainment, free from the restraint of network predictability. Rabblers are creating a fresh new type of audio entertainment. Mute your TV and do your own play-by-play, provide running commentary, or just banter with your buddies. Or you can listen to other fans who love your team as much as you do. It's live, it's new, it's Rabble. Rabble.tv.
Nate Abarea back here with JP Della Camera on World Soccer Talk Radio, talking all about the Women's World Cup final and getting to know the broadcaster that is JP, and talking about his relationship with the U.S. women's national team. I got to ask you now, JP, as we're just a few days away from a massive occasion, the Women's World Cup final, the rematch, if we want to call it that, between the USA and Japan. Can you take us through any sort of game day rituals that you have? An average getting ready the morning of and going to the stadium. Take us through what that's like for you. And does it change at all, that normal, whether you want to call it a ritual or just a preparation, does it change at all when the occasion is of such a high magnitude like a World Cup final?
My routine has changed, Nate, over the years. I used to be much more rigid. People used to make fun of me. I'd eat at a certain time. some people think I still do that. Eat at a certain time, eat similar stuff. People know I don't fool around with food, especially day of game or the night before. I've never had any issues with it, but I also wouldn't want to experiment with foods that I've not had before. Having a taste of something the night before, let's say a World Cup final. So I used to be a lot more regimented. Maybe part of that was my hockey background, where you had a morning skate followed by a team meal. You all ate together. You all pretty much ate the same stuff. And over the years, that's changed as well. So I would say right now, my day of game routine, usually, at least at this level, at the World Cup, just involves waking up and looking at some notes over maybe breakfast. We usually have an 11 a.m. meeting where we discuss between two announcers and a producer all of the storylines for that game, the what-ifs. You know, we actually discussed, I think we did this on the last time I was on the show, like what happens if China had won that game, or what happens if Colombia had won that game? You know, where does that rank in terms of upsets? It's too hard to think about, is this the biggest upset in the history of the World Cup? It's too difficult to think about that when the game is over. So you try to think about every possible scenario, and you can't, but you can come close to every possible scenario. Nobody could have forecast poor Laura Bassett and the ending yesterday to England, but you know, you think about as many things as you can. Then you're talking about a lunch, maybe two walks, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, just to clear your head. Sometimes I'll visualize the game as I'm walking, visualize, let's say, Solo making a big save, or Alex Morgan taking a ball towards the goal, or Carly Lloyd stepping up to a penalty kick spot, whatever it is, or the opponent. What I'll try to do as I'm walking, if I know the starting lineup for both teams, I'm picturing it in my head as I'm walking. I'm trying to say to myself, I'm not talking to myself in the street, but as I'm walking, I'm figuring out, okay, the left back for the United States is Klingenberg, and this is the number that she wears. And playing centrally is Julie Johnson, and this is her number. And next to her is Sauerbrunn, and next to her is Krieger wearing number 11. And those are the things that I try to put in my mind. I will tell you that I'm never nervous before a game. That doesn't mean anything good or bad. It's just like a player. Some players are nervous before a game. Some announcers are. It's whatever works for you. But I'm never nervous before a big game. But I can tell you that I do have a different feeling when I go to these games. The China game, I did not feel the same way that I did for that Germany game. The Germany game that day seemed to last forever. I think we wanted that kickoff to be, you know, 2 o'clock instead of 6 or 7, whatever time it was. We just wanted to get to the stadium and do the game. And I think it'll be the same thing with the Japan game on Sunday. I know it's a World Cup final. I know the stakes are high. I know what the ramifications are. So I will have, even though I'll prepare the same for it, I will have a different feeling in my heart and in my head going to that game.
Well, you say you never get nervous before. The idea of the walks to clear your head, and this transitions into another thing I wanted to ask you about, and that is the fact that you get to you've traveled the world quite extensively, being a soccer broadcaster, and especially when it comes to World Cups and getting to know various areas of the globe. What have been some of the spots as far as those walks that you've taken? What have been some of the spots that you remember that have really helped you stay calm before big matches?
This may surprise you, Nate. We used to take cemetery walks in 1990 at the World Cup in Italy. And the only reason it's a surprise, I mean, obviously a cemetery is going to be very quiet, but it just so happened to be right next to where all of the announcers were staying. So it was more convenient to walk there, and that's what we would do. But it doesn't really matter whether it's a noisy street in downtown Philadelphia or in downtown Chicago, or if it's, you know, walking by the river. It's the venue doesn't really matter to me. It's just being able to get out of your hotel room where you could kind of go stir crazy, you know, get out, get some fresh air, or if you're, you know, in the gym working out, whatever you're doing, but just something to so that you're not just sitting in your room looking over notes. There's only so many hours that you can look at notes or watch videotape or, you know, DVRs of games. There's only so much of that you can do without going crazy, you know, and at times, and this is what I would tell aspiring announcers, sometimes you have to know when to walk away from it at the right time, especially if you're doing like two games in a day. We had to do that earlier in this World Cup. You've got to know when to stop studying for one game because you've got two games to do. So a lot of it is mental, and there's no right or wrong way. You're just asking me how I do it, but it's worked for me, so I'm going to stick with it.
JP Della Camera, tell us a little bit more about your time at World Cup 1990 in Italy. In addition to those, you know, very peaceful, tranquil walks through the cemeteries in Italia. Talk about what World Cup 1990 meant to you and your growth as a fan of soccer and as an announcer, as a soccer broadcaster. Tell us some stories about Italia 90.
1990 was one of the most fantastic experiences I've ever had. Part of it has to do with my grandparents were both born in Italy, so I have some Italian background. So going to Italy was a fantastic experience for me. But think about this. We were working for Turner Network Television at the time. The games were on TNT, and I don't recall how many games there were, but it was nowhere near even half the schedule. I think that year in 1990, it could have even been, no, I was going to say, I thought it was shared with somebody else. It wasn't. I think it was just TNT, and I was on the second team. But all of the announcers, we weren't staying at a hotel. We stayed at a rich Italian villa. We all had our own rooms, our own bathrooms, our own cook, not one cook per person, but one chef who was basically cooking things that Americans liked. We had a maid there. We had a dirt soccer field, swimming pool. So it was like a Club Med vacation, except that we were working there. So it's the only time in my life I've ever done a tournament where we weren't staying in a hotel, but we were actually staying at a rich person's villa. We rented it out for maybe about 6 weeks and just got to stay there and hang out. That was our home base. So we would take, don't remember ever taking a flight, maybe one flight in Italy. We went to so many different cities. A lot of it, though, was by car, and it was fantastic to see that. Saw a lot of crazy drivers in Italy as well. That's part of my memory. But I think that World Cup was so unique for me, so unique, because it was Italy. And like I said, my grandparents both were born there. That was fantastic. The accommodations were fantastic. And when you talk about, you know, heartbreaking endings to games, I can remember when Italy went out of that World Cup. We were in Naples, if I'm going back to 1990 for that game, and they lost, I want to say, to Argentina. I believe it was on penalties, but I remember thinking, how are we ever going to get out of this stadium after the game? And it was easy to get out of the stadium after the game because you could hear a pin drop in the stadium. Italian fans were stunned, and people weren't really making their way out like you would expect them to. And the next day, you could feel it on the streets of Italy. Souvenirs from the World Cup were marked down drastically. That was the best time to buy a souvenir. But you had that sense in that city. You knew. If you didn't know anything at all, if you were not even a soccer fan, you knew something was different. And it was that Italy had lost in that World Cup game.
Well, and both semifinals in the 1990 World Cup going to penalties, both after 1-1 scorelines, both ending on 4-3 penalty scorelines, Argentina over Italy. And of course, oh God, more English heartbreak in a semifinal. Doesn't matter if it's the men or the women, England going out to West Germany on penalties in Turin in that World Cup. We got 4 minutes left here with you. And to close up this memory lane trip to Italia 90, we had Tony Meola on the show a couple of days ago, the great American goalkeeper and a proud Italian-American, a first-generation Italian-American with so many strong Italian roots. And he talked about that tournament, and Eric Winalda has shared this as well, talking about the run to World Cup 1990 as one of the most overlooked achievements in U.S. soccer history, that without that, there might not be anything that follows. And without Paul Caligiuri's goal in Trinidad and Tobago in 1989 that qualified the USA for that tournament, that all of this stuff that followed, all this new generation of American soccer, it may have never come. What do you remember about it from a U.S. soccer point of view and being over there as an American with the USA in a World Cup for the first time in 40 years in 1990?
I just remember the qualifying, the road that they took there. I knew that, you know, if they had to win that game in Trinidad and Tobago, and people wondered, you know, if that was a good thing. Like, wouldn't it have been better if they just needed a draw? And I said, no, it wouldn't have been better, because at that point, that's not our USA mentality. We were not like European teams that could play for the draw. I thought Americans play to win, and at that point, that's what we needed to do. I had total confidence in Meola, as young as he was. I thought that he could shut out Trinidad and Tobago. And I thought that even though that atmosphere was, you know, not so friendly in Trinidad and Tobago, I thought that the USA could have some success there, and they did. I think lost in the shuffle of all of that, you know, Bob Gansler and his assistant coaches on that team did a magnificent job with those young players. And the thing that Gansler doesn't get enough credit for, I think his players give him credit for this, but I think what he doesn't get enough credit for is the young players that he took over there. He left Ricky Davis off the team, and at that point, that was somewhat controversial. I think that Ricky was one of those players that would have hoped to have been in that World Cup, but as it turns out, he was my broadcast partner in 1990 for that World Cup on TNT. But I think that so many young players, Meola, Winalda, Balboa, Trichu, I'm just trying to think of all the names, Windishman, so many young players, college-type players, that Bob Gansler gave an opportunity to, probably knowing that he wasn't going to advance in that World Cup, but knowing that 1994, those guys would be ready. 1998 and beyond, hopefully that would happen too. But I think I said this on your program before, that Caligiuri goal, I'm going to call it the billion-dollar goal, because I think if you added up all that has happened since then, talk about Major League Soccer, expansion fees, corporate sponsorship, television deals, it's amazing how much money soccer has grossed in this country. And it all started with that goal from Caligiuri. Canada qualified for the World Cup in 1986. They have not qualified since. Big difference, right? There shouldn't be a lot of difference between Canada and the United States, but that tells you one of the biggest differences there. And part of that was Caligiuri's goal. It spurred so much interest in our country from corporate sponsors. Everybody wanted to get on board. Later on, we had the most successful World Cup in history in terms of fans in the seats, you know, the revenue that was produced. And it would not have happened had it not been for Caligiuri's effort and the efforts of all of those players that helped the team qualify for the first time since 1950. So I think all of soccer should remember all of those players. I forgot to mention my friend John Harkes, too, on those teams. So many players. I hope nobody's mad at me for forgetting their name, but I didn't know that.
Well, sadly, we don't have time for all of them, but the billion-dollar goal from Paul Caligiuri, I absolutely love it. JP Della Camera, it has been a pleasure, as always, having you on the show. Best of luck on Sunday. I know you're going to have a great over there at Vancouver, USA, and Japan. Thanks again for your time, sir.
Anytime, Nate.
Again, that was JP Della Camera. We're taking the express train home right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you, taking the express train home. What is the best way to celebrate the 4th of July this Saturday in the good old U.S. of A? Well, if you're a soccer fan, how about some Copa America, the final of the grand tournament taking place down in Santiago, Chile. Argentina contra Chile, the host nation going for it all. My pick from the beginning. Come on, Chile. Who will be crowned the champions? Whoever it'll be, I'd like to invite you to join Argentine soccer expert and great friend of World Soccer Talk Radio, Sam Kelly, on Rabble.tv for a real fan's perspective. Rabble.tv, the concept is simple. All you got to do, tune into the broadcast on TV, press the mute button, and then head over to Rabble.tv to listen to Sam Kelly sharing his analysis for this big Copa America final. If you got an iPhone, install the Rabble TV app today. Add a comment to the broadcast message board, then listen live for your shout-out and contribution to the broadcast via the app on Saturday. Mark your calendars. Saturday, July 4th, 4 p.m. Eastern in the U.S. of A. Celebrate Copa America final with Sam Kelly live from his apartment in Argentina. It's Rabble.tv. Huge thank you to Rabble for their support of World Soccer Talk Radio. Thanks to JP Della Camera for joining us. Thanks to the gaffer, Christopher Harris, the producer, Scott Cuddy. My name is Nate Abarea. We're off tomorrow. Brian McBride with us on Monday. Come on, USA, in the Women's World Cup final. Come on, Chile, in Copa America. Cheers. Bye for now.